This is in the news for July 5th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW-LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First up today, from commondreams.org and from Reuters, written by Phil Stewart and Massimiliano Di Giorgio. Italian spies arrested, Americans sought for kidnap. This is out of Rome. Police arrested two officials from Italy's military intelligence agency on Wednesday, and a judge issued arrest warrants for four Americans over the alleged CIA kidnapping of a terrorism suspect in 2003, officials said. Three of the Americans were alleged CIA agents, and the fourth worked at the U.S. military air base in Aviano, northern Italy, a statement from the Milan prosecutor's office said. It said Marco Mancini, director of a division of the SISMI military intelligence agency, and another SISMI official, had been arrested. The new arrests and the warrants relate to the abduction of Hassan Mustafa Osama Nasser, also known as Abu Omar. He says he was seized on a Milan street in broad daylight, bundled into a van, and driven to Aviano. He says he was then flown to Egypt and tortured under questioning. An Italian court has already issued arrest warrants for 22 suspected U.S. agents over the abduction, but it was the first time Italian officials have been linked to the investigation. If an Italian role is confirmed, it would lend evidence to allegations that European countries colluded with the United States in the secret renditions of terrorism suspects. Lawmakers in Italy's new center-left ruling coalition accused former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi of a cover-up during his five-year administration, which ended in April. Berlusconi has fiercely denied that his administration or SISMI were involved in the kidnapping, and even once summoned the U.S. ambassador requests Italian sovereignty be respected. Giovanni Russo Spena, a senator with the Communist Refoundation Party in the ruling coalition, said, quote, Mancini's arrest confirms what we've said for a long time, that is, that the previous government knew about SISMI's involvement in Abu Omar's kidnapping by the CIA, end quote. Italian investigators had been wiretapping Nasser before his abduction and accused him of having ties to Al-Qaeda and recruiting combatants for Iraq, according to court documents. They say the kidnapping broke Italian law and ruined a promising investigation. Mancini was accused of collaborating in the kidnap, judicial sources said early on Wednesday. The European Union's Justice Commissioner Franco Frattini said he respected the prosecutor's decision to arrest Mancini. He said, quote, the prosecutor is investigating. He is accusing this officer of the Italian Secret Service. We'll see whether he is responsible or not, end quote. The Abu Omar case is one of the best-known examples of alleged CIA secret operations of the U.S.-led war on terror. Human rights groups condemn extraordinary renditions, saying suspects have frequently been sent by the United States to countries that practice torture. Washington acknowledges making secret rendition transfers of terrorism suspects between countries, but denies either using torture itself against suspects or handing them over to countries that do so. Additional reporting in this report was done by Emilio Parodi in Milan and Ingrid Melander in Brussels. Again, that's from Reuters, written by Phil Stewart and Massimiliano Di Giorgio. Next up, also from commondreams.org and from the Los Angeles Times, written by Tom Perry, judge temporarily bars Navy from using sonar said to harm whales. This is July 4th out of San Diego. A federal judge temporarily blocked the Navy on Monday from using active sonar during a major multi-nation exercise off Hawaii until it could negotiate with environmentalists who say the sound waves would harm whales. On Friday, the Department of Defense invoked a six-month national security exemption from the Marine Mammal Protection Act to thwart a lawsuit by the National Resources Defense Council. But U.S. District Judge Florence Marie Cooper, sitting in Los Angeles, ruled that the exemption did not cover the National Environmental Policy Act cited in the lawsuit. Said Joel Reynolds, senior attorney at the National Resources Defense Council, quote, this ruling underscores that no one, not even the U.S. military, is above the law, end quote. The Navy had planned to use sonar during the Rim of the Pacific exercise, which began last week off Hawaii, with 40 surface ships and six submarines, three from the U.S. and one from Korea, Japan, and Australia, scheduled to participate. The sonar portion of the month-long exercise was to begin Wednesday. The judge's order blocks the Navy use of sonar until a July 18 hearing, when Cooper is to consider making the ban permanent. Cooper gave the two sides until July 12 to meet and discuss a possible settlement. In a seven-page ruling, she said the environmentalists had submitted, quote, considerable convincing scientific evidence that the Navy's use of sonar can kill, injure, and disturb many species, including marine mammals, end quote. The Navy in a statement after the ruling said sonar was, quote, the only effective means we have to detect and quickly target hostile submarines and keep sea lanes open, end quote, and that sonar operators needed training at sea to, quote, protect our nation's ships, shores, and allies, end quote. Navy scientists have denied that sonar hurts whales. The National Marine Fisheries Service has said scientific evidence is mixed. In recent months, the agency concluded that sonar used during a similar exercise in 2004 had likely caused 150 melon-headed whales to gather in a shallow bay. The environmentalists filed the lawsuit last week after the Fisheries Service issued a permit for the Navy to use sonar during the current exercises. Fisheries Service officials said they were convinced that the mitigation measures that the Navy agreed to, including posting spotters and creating off-limits areas, would keep the whales from being hurt. The sonar use is meant to test whether quiet, diesel-powered submarines like those used by Iran, North Korea, and China can be detected. Adding to the controversy is President Bush's recent designation of an ocean area near the Hawaiian Islands as a nature preserve. Environmentalists said the Fisheries Service's decision to issue such a permit contradicted Bush's action. Again, that's from the Los Angeles Times, written by Tom Perry. And finally today, we've got a piece written by George Lakoff from the Boston Globe, dated yesterday, July 4th, titled Understanding the Meaning of Freedom. Not since the Civil War has America been more divided politically. The Civil War was fought over the question of what freedom in America was to be. The issue was in the open for all to see. Human slavery, the bluntest effrontery to the idea of freedom. The culture war today is once more about the question of what freedom is to be in America. But it is subtler. No slaves, instead detainees in Guantanamo, held without due process. More than a million young African Americans in U.S. prisons, many held for nonviolent or victimless crimes. Torture in Abu Ghraib and at a secret designations in Egypt and Syria. Government spying on ordinary citizens. No slaves. Instead, illegal immigrants who want to come here to do back-breaking work for low pay and few rights. Remarkably, all this in the name of freedom. It is a right-wing conservative conception of freedom, and it flies in the face of the freedoms declared by the Founding Fathers and expanded upon since. For more than two centuries, Americans demanded successive expansions of freedom, progressive freedom, expansions of voting rights, civil rights, education, public health, scientific knowledge, and protections from fear and want. These all made us freer to follow our dreams. These were the ideals of freedom that I grew up with. They are now all under threat, not by guns or bombs, but an under-the-radar redefinition of freedom and liberty to suit right-wing ideology. And it is taking place under our noses with the complicity of the media, where there has been little noticeable questioning of the president's use of freedom and liberty. The mechanism of redefinition is cognitive. It is in our brains. We can't see it. Freedom is what cognitive scientists call an, quote, essentially contested concept, end quote, which means there will always be distinct and disputed versions of freedom that are inconsistent with each other. There is no single, universal, and objectively correct meaning of freedom. There is a single, uncontested, but limited core meaning of freedom that we all agree on, but that is the limit of consensus. Progressives and conservatives have different value systems that extend the uncontested core in opposite directions. Progressives. There should be a freedom to marry. The government should not be able to decide who can marry whom. Conservatives. Freely elected government officials should determine who can marry whom. That's what a free country means. Progressives. Social Security, the minimum wage, universal health care, college for all are ways to guarantee freedom from want. Conservatives. Giving people things they haven't earned creates dependency and robs people of their freedom. Progressives. The 45 million people who can't afford health care cannot all pull themselves up by their bootstraps. An economy that drives down wages to increase investor profits creates a cheap labor trap. The trap works against freedom from want. Conservatives. Economic liberty comes through the free market. Government gets in the way. Government works against economic liberty in four ways: regulation, workers' rights, taxes, and class action lawsuits. Progressives. Freedom of religion includes freedom from having a religion imposed on you. Conservatives. Freedom to practice religion for fundamentalist evangelicals means spreading the good news of the truth of the gospel, which implies school prayer, Under God and the Pledge, the Ten Commandments and Courthouses, and the Teaching of Intelligent Design. Progressives. The President spying on citizens without a warrant is a violation of freedom. Conservatives. The President is just doing his duty to preserve our freedom. What is scary is how consistent the differences are, how closely they stick to the progressive-conservative differences in moral worldview. The differences in the meaning of freedom reflect the major political difference of our time. President Bush, in his second inaugural address, used freedom, free, and liberty 49 times in 20 minutes. Liberty has become the watchword of the radical right. The right has taken over the use of these words as part of its appropriation of patriotism. Progressives must reclaim not merely the words freedom and liberty, but the ideas that made this a free country. To lose freedom is awful. To lose the idea of freedom would be worse. George Lakoff wrote this. He's the author of Whose Freedom? The Battle Over America's Most Important Idea and Don't Think of an Elephant. Again, that comes from the Boston Globe via commondreams.org. This has been In the News for July 5th, 2006. I'm Scott Berguin from KSOW LP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We'll talk to you next time.